Let's now open the Word of God together, and I'm going to jump into the book of Hebrews, and we're in Hebrews chapter 6. So Hebrews chapter 6, I'm just going to read the first couple of verses there. It says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of..." There are six things listed here that should be elementary to us in our maturity as we grow in Christ. Repentance from acts that leads to death, faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. What's going to happen over the next 6 months? I've never really done a series myself. We've done Christmas series. We've done Easter series. But I've never done a series myself. There's six things here. About the first Sunday of every month, I will unpack these things. So between now and June, you will see just every so often I'm going to unpack these ones. And so the first one is the repentance from acts that lead to death. Now, when I think about that repentance, I had a conversation just recently with somebody about, as I share with you, hey, New Year's 2000 is when I got saved. It's there in my mind. I gave my life to Christ. For some people, it's not a direct day. It was maybe a season of time. And there's no cookie cutter, you know, there's nothing in the Bible. It's ABC, you know. It's about a salvation experience, and some of this looks different. But what is really important within that salvation experience is you're like, I'm not sure when I got saved, but there are things that we should do. We say maybe a salvation prayer, a sinner's prayer, but then this is so important. This has to be part of the package, is that we repent of our sins. Now, not really an exciting thing to think about. When I think about 22 years, Almy and I will be married this year, when I blow it, which happens not often, right? Yeah, let's just clarify that. And I have to go to her after almost 22 years, and I say to her, you know, honey, when I did this or said that, I'm really sorry I said that. Would you please forgive me? Yeah, nice pill to swallow, right? Kind of goes down. You know, we don't want to do that too often. Even though this is somebody that loves me and I am connected to and would have my back, and of course she's going to forgive me. But don't we get that in our minds that we're thinking, oh, this might be the, oh my gosh, how am I going to ever, you know, we play it up in our mind. And then when we come to God Almighty, who's perfect and holy, I think we have the same thought process about him. We're thinking, oh my God, you would almost say, that's terrible to say. We just say, I don't want to confess to him. I don't want to tell him what was really going on or what I was really thinking. And so as we parent children, maybe as you, as a person of a boss, or you have employees under you, as you have to go and correct them or bring some kind of like, you know, when you did that, that was actually wrong. What's the first thing that we do? And I'm guilty of this as well. You know, scapegoat, like, oh, it's because of this situation. It's because so-and-so told me. It's because we just deflect. You know, there's a challenge upon us, and we're just like, we're deflecting. We've got shields up, right? We're deflecting all these things coming at us. But we're actually guilty of whatever it was. But we don't want to own it. And then usually when you work with a child or an employee, at some point you'll actually draw it out of them, and you don't, when you did that, that was actually wrong. Yeah, you're right. That actually was wrong. I should say sorry for that. Why are we so stubborn? This is an elementary thing we should know as Christians. We should be the greatest at it. When somebody says, hey, that was wrong what you did, you're absolutely right. I am so sorry I made a mistake. That should be on our lips. It should be our response. And so when we come to God and we get saved, when we first get saved, we should go to God and say, God, I repent of. And now for me, it was 23 years. It was terrible. 23 years of a mess. Like, it was a lot to repent of. And it comes like this naturally to us now when we come to the Lord. God, in your prayer life, in your devotion life, God, you know, you're in control. You're a heavenly Father. And God, forgive me of whatever happened yesterday. I want to get cleansed today. I want to start fresh today. It should be part of our language. It should be, again, an elementary understanding that we have. And so I want to unpack it a bit more with you, but we've got to get some context of where that lands in Scripture, because so often we have chapters and verses, and we kind of think, well, that's in chapter 6, you know. We don't care about what happened in chapter 5 or something. No, it's one continuous story. It's one continuous thought. And so let's read a little bit here in just the previous book. So Hebrews chapter 5. The heading in most Bibles should say something like this in about verse 11. It should say, warning against falling away. And so we can see clearly here as we read the elementary teachings, we're concerned about things that we, if we don't do, we could fall away. And so we start unpacking what that says. So in verse 11, it says this. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. I promise you, I didn't write this. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. I love the idea that when we go to Hebrews and we look at the author of this book, we're actually not quite sure who wrote it. Probably because of things like that. You slow to learn, idiot. What's wrong with you people, right? Like, I don't want to be the one that said that. I'm just reading scriptures, just so you know, it's me and you. I love you, God loves you, and after we read this, God will love you, and I'll love you still, right? But this is the truth of God's word. In verse 13, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by contrast use... or by contrast, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Whoa, that's a heavy thought right there. So let's just pause there in verse 14 just for a moment and just really look at that. By constant use. So that means they're doing it. That means they're applying it. That means they're putting it into practice. They're constantly doing these things. And by that, they've trained themselves up to do what? What do you want to train yourself up for? What would be the purpose of coming here Sunday? What would be the purpose of coming to Bible studies? What would be the purpose of, you know, listening to podcasts? So that you're training yourself up so that you can distinguish good from evil. This world is so demonic at times. It's so destructive at times. We read in the Bible that it says that Satan and all of his angels, they disguise themselves. And sometimes it looks good, but we don't know what's good and what's wrong. And so how are we going to figure that out? It's elementary. We should be able to know that instantly. When you hear something or say something, you're like, that's actually not right. Pastor, what you're saying is not scriptural. We're going to have a little chat after. Anytime you want. I mean, well, love the word of God, but let's look at it together. So we've got to be aware of those things. And when we hear these words, and so this is in English for us, but when it was written originally, when we see trained themselves, the original kind of Greek terminology of those kind of words is we're training our senses. We're training our sensory abilities. We're training our innermost being to be sensitive to that. Have you ever walked into an environment where you're like, whoa, feels heavy in the room, or you're feeling like it feels dark in the room? Or have you ever come to church, and hopefully we'll hear some amens here, where you're like, whoa, it feels good in the room, right? There's this sensory of like, you can't put your finger on it, but you sense something, right? Whoa, yes, Lord, we want to be like that. We want to sense those kind of things. So it's referring to this idea of like training your senses to be sensitive to those things so that you can distinguish good from evil, from truth, from falsehood. And so look in the Old Testament. We know this story quite well. It's kind of some overarching thoughts. So we go to 1 Kings, so way back in the Old Testament here. Just a couple books in there. So 1 Kings chapter 3. And we would know that there is this gentleman, and his name is Solomon. And even the heading says, Solomon asked for wisdom. And so we know that. But what were the actual words that he used? What did he actually desire from God? Solomon's the greatest king, the greatest leader of all time. And he asked God, I need some help because there are so many people. How am I ever going to lead these people? How am I ever going to lead them? And it says here in verse 9 of chapter 3, it says, so give your servant, Solomon's saying, give me a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong, truth and falsehood, good and evil. For who is able to govern these great people of yours? how can I lead my family? How can I lead my business? How can I lead anything well if I don't have discernment? I have to have discernment so I know what's right and what's wrong. And so I know what to repent of or what to not repent of. There's just this great teaching here. In order to grow really from an infant Christian, like some of us just got saved or growing, some of us are mature, but how do we continue to grow? We learn discernment through that. We train our consciences, we train our senses, our minds, our bodies to distinguish good and evil, so that we can recognize a temptation before it traps us. Because often in life, when we go to God, we say, oh God, I am so sorry. I have to confess and repent of something I did. And then what we should do is kind of play back. Okay, so how did I get to that point? Okay, well, that thought led to, and that action led to, and oh, there's the root cause of it. There's the root problem of what led me to be tempted to have to confess and ask for repentance. So we train ourselves. Would we recognize it? Can we tell the difference between a correct use of Scripture and a mistaken one, false teaching and false doctrine, from good teaching and good preaching? Do we have those senses? Have we trained ourselves in knowing this? Well, we would be right away. Have you ever done that? And I'll just be really honest with you. We have something called Right Now Media. I don't even like to recognize Netflix or Disney or anything, but it's basically Christian material. So Christian movies, Christian teaching, all that kind of stuff. But it's everybody's allowed on there. So Right Now Media, we pay for as a church. You can have access to it. Just let us know. We'll give you an email. You have a password. You can go watch all the Christian stuff you want. But can I warn you to have discernment as you listen to that stuff? Because there's some people on there that I think actually don't have good teaching. I think are false teachers on there, but it's all denominations and all flavors of life. But you have to have your own discernment, because Pastor Ben aren't going to sit there every time eating popcorn in your house and watch you. Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. Like, you have to have your own discernment. And we really like popcorn, actually, you know, just so you know, just in case you're ever thinking about that. Actually, that caramel, you know, I apologize. Yeah, let's move on. But we've got to know that. We've got to, because you don't want to, like, let something in and then realize, oh, that was not good. You don't want to, you know, have poison come in and, oh, I got to clean that out of myself now. I've got to deal with that later. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Let's begin to just look at just a few of the points there as we look at the elementary teachings. And so in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 6, it says, therefore, let us leave. And so before we even talk about the teachings, he says, let us leave. You know, we're going to look at those six different teachings over the next 6 months. We've got to leave those things. It's not about leaving the teaching, but it's leaving that foundation. That's a good foundation. Let me now build upon that. I've left behind some things that I know it, and I'm going to build upon that. And so we would see other books in the Bible that refer to that or speak about that. So let's go back a little bit in Philippians. So in Philippians chapter 3. Looking at verse 12. Water tastes better in this cup here, just so you're clear. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me and straining toward what's ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, we learn again from our mistakes. We don't just kind of forget about, oh, like, I don't know, that was last year, you know. Like, we're not going to forget about all that. But we've learned from it. We grow from it. We put it behind us so that we can continue to let it become even part of our testimony, right? We've all made mistakes, and we look at our past. Oh, don't look behind. Like, ooh, that's messy. It should be like, let's look at our past. Look what God did. Look how God redeemed me from that stuff. Look how God set me free from those things. It's to add to us. Again, it's kind of like an elementary thought. I know I should repent, and I know I should confess. But is it part of your basic understanding? Is it part of your ABCs yet? Because if it isn't part of your ABCs yet, then we've got to get that elementary teaching. It's like a good foundation. There's one corner is missing. This elementary teaching, we don't have a good foundation yet in this. We've got to work on it. We've got to, you know, spend some time there. We've got to be obedient to it. So watch what Peter says about that. Peter's a wonderful guy, so we're going to just flip ahead a little bit in 1 Peter chapter 2. There we go. In verse 1, so the same kind of thoughts, because we have purified ourselves by obeying the truth, this is what it says. Now that you have purified yourselves by learning, by training, by being sensitive to this thing, the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love for one another deeply from the heart. Sometimes this is kind of like, I don't even know how to say this well because I don't want you to take it the wrong way. But we have relationships and some of them are difficult. And so how are you going to be able to overcome a difficult relationship? It can't just be like, I will try harder and I will be nicer. You're like, I guarantee it's not going to work out in the long run. But if something happens inside your heart, then you can have real love and connection with one another because it's an internal thing that God is doing inside of you. And so we want to be purified by God's word. We want the truth of God's word, and we want to be obedient to it so that we can live the way he's called us to. Let's move ahead in 1 Peter just a little bit into chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander in every kind of way. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. That is a really deep thought there. Now that I have tasted that the Lord is good, that you may grow up in your salvation. We talk about that often. Salvation isn't about doing a bunch of stuff. You don't get saved from your works, but you're saved for good works. And we see that so clearly here, so that you may grow in your salvation, so the elementary teachings that become part of your DNA, your ABC, so that you will grow and mature in Christ. So we rid ourselves of the things that have been behind. We grow from the things of elementary teaching so that we can become, again, mature. It's almost like the Lord's Prayer that we say often. We would say something like, hey, Lord, forgive me for my trespasses. You know, in the sinner's prayer, it might go something like, please forgive me of all of my sins. This is an elementary teaching we've got to understand. It's super important to our walk. We come to God repenting of our sins, you know, the very sins that nailed Jesus to the cross. And I think sometimes we downplay that. We think, well, you know, I was pretty good before I got saved. I didn't really need to ask for a lot of forgiveness or confess a lot of things. You know, I was a good kid. You'd probably almost think that I was Christian if I didn't tell you before I got saved. And so when we come to Christ, we're like, I just need Jesus in my life. And so I get saved. I get to go to eternity. I get to go to heaven. That's good. But actually, we are all broken and we're all sinners, and everything that we did separated us and caused Christ to go to the cross. And sometimes we need to hear that. Because we have to confess. We have to repent. If we just hang on to that stuff, we'll never be free. Why wouldn't you want to be free? You got to let it go. You got to, you know, because we just beat ourselves up with it. We don't need the enemy to tell us we're a bunch of idiots. We tell that poison to ourselves. We think, I am broken. I am a mess, and I'm never going to be free. That's ridiculous. Why would you, I got Jesus in my life, but I'm an idiot. You know, why would you do that? I got Jesus in my life. I'm free. I'm free in Jesus. Jesus lives in here. I am free in Jesus. I know that my past is a train wreck, is a mess. But now, I got Christ in my life. Now we're looking for it. We're forgetting about that stuff. We're moving forward in Jesus' name. We have to have that as a good teaching. I want to tell you about my story. So, New Year's 2000, we talked about that. I got saved. It was in Nanaimo at the time. I was working in retail. And they moved me. They moved me over, which was a very good thing. Get away from the, you know, not that the island's bad. I love the island. But away from my friends that were just not helping me out. It was my own dumb decision. But anyways, they moved me to North Vancouver. I started attending a church, and a sermon was preached. I don't even know what the sermon was. Don't even know who spoke it. But the application part of it was like, you need to ask for forgiveness of all of your sins. You need to get the backyard cleaned up. You need to get the closet cleaned up. You need to get all those things cleaned up. And I thought, and I'm just a black and white guy. Absolutely. You know, where do I sign up? How do I get it? So I phoned up my pastor at the time. I said, look, I got to meet with you. I got to deal with all this stuff. Omni and I were like dating, courting at the time. I thought, I do not want any of this in my marriage. I got to clean up. And so I clean up my act. And so the pastor was willing to meet with me. We met in his office with another person. And I had written down everything that I felt in the first 23 years of my life that I had just totally train wreck messed up. And so the first page was, you know, simple things like, sorry for the nickel I stole from my brother and the Lego I stole and whatever, you know, just simple things. Page two, you know, you're getting more intimate as you realize you're talking to a perfect, holy God. All those kind of things. Now we're getting transparent. I wonder, now that I'm a pastor, I wonder if he was like, I thought this is just a nice young guy, you know, worked in retail, 23 years old. He probably doesn't have much to confess. And, you know, as the time went on, he's probably like, how much longer is this going to go? How, like, I can't believe what he's saying. You know, like, I don't know what was going on inside of his head. Or he was excited, like, praise God, this guy's getting saved. He's confessing his real, his dirt, his junk. He's really dealing with it. And so when I came away from that, though, what I felt like was that I had exposed all the things that were hidden. And how I read in Scripture, it says, bring them out into the light so that God can heal those things, so the enemy has no more hold on it over you. And I felt like that. And I don't exactly know how that works in the spiritual realm or what that looks like. I just know that the Word of God asked me to do that. And I want to be obedient to what God has asked us to do. So I pray that for us as a church, that for each one of you, that we would repent and confess. And maybe it looks like, you know, my messy way of doing it, or maybe it's just a daily thing. But make it part of your daily prayer. Say, God, you know, I fell short there. Like, he already knows you did. You're just being honest. It's not like he's like, oh, I didn't even know. Like, you know, he already knows. He would rather you be honest than try and hide things. Why would you hide things from somebody that knows? It's like there's a camera on you all the time. There's the videotape going. And then they're like, oh, I didn't know that happened. Boop, play. I just, like, what are you talking about? You didn't know that happened. It was clear to me. I was there. I saw the whole thing. And so let's be honest. Let's be open. Let's be transparent. So here we go. Let's look at, so we looked at some Old Testament, looked at some New Testament. Let's look at what happens when the church just launches out. We love history, so let's go to the book of Acts. We look at the church just planting. We see at this point, a little bit of context for you. Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus is resurrected, raised from the dead. Jesus tells the disciples, stay here, Holy Spirit's going to show up. And we see in verse 38 here of Acts chapter 2, Peter, when the Holy Spirit shows up, all of a sudden there's a big crowd of people. And Peter preaches to them the Word of God. Like we've never seen historically, I've written down where that many people got saved in one sermon. And the people are just like, oh, wow, that's some heavy truth. Peter, what should we do now? And here's the response. So when people hear the Word of God, they're convicted to do something about it. How should we respond? And Peter replied in verse 38. The very first thing he says is repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The first thing. Yes, salvation prayer. Yes, sinner's prayer. Yes, repentance. Yes, confession. Yes, I've been carrying this my whole life. I want to just put it down. I want to stop carrying that weight. I want to be free. So we repent. And then we see, just so you know, a little kind of TV advertisement here, is that we do have a clipboard over there about water baptism. Every year we do this. We're going to have a water baptism very soon. We've got two people on the list already. If you haven't been water baptized, you got saved, you repented, you want to continue in your maturity and your growth with Christ, get water baptized. And so sign up for that. We're going to have some classes in a couple of months. I'll teach you about it. And so got to repent, got to get saved, got to get water baptized. Let's just kind of recap the final thought there. So the first teaching in Hebrews chapter 6 is repentance from acts that lead to death. And again, how will we know if the things that we're doing are really destructive, they're hurting us, they're hurting other people, or really it's separating us from the Lord, which would lead us to death, spiritual death. And so how will we know that? So Hebrews, again, brilliant, whoever that writer is, brilliant guy, love him. Explains that a bit further. So go to Hebrews, go to chapter 9 and verse 14, and we'll find the answer. It says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. We can actually We can't cleanse ourselves. It's through Christ. It's through his blood. That's why when we pray the blood of Christ over us, we think blood is kind of messy, but blood is cleansing spiritually. The blood of Christ cleanses us. Because when we come to God, and again, it's very clear there, you go to Jesus, there is nobody besides Christ who ever presented himself to God unblemished. So the rest of us are blemished. The rest of us have issues. The rest of us need to repent and confess of things. And so how do we do that? We've talked about that. We can come, we can confess, we can repent of these things so that our consciences, there's that kind of senses again, from acts that lead to death. So we would have discernment built up inside of us as our ABCs, as our elementary way of being Christian. It would just come naturally as we allow, again, you got to allow Christ in, you got to confess with your mouth, and then he'll set you free. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? I'm so grateful for Scripture. I'm grateful that it just makes it simple. It's not confusing. It's not like, oh, that was so deep theologically in Greek and Hebrew. I didn't understand what you were saying. Like, it's designed for simple and normal and ordinary people. It's written for us to understand and be able to apply it to our lives. So I pray that we would take a hold of that today in this year. Like, we don't need New Year's resolutions. We just need to be pursuing God, and God will take care of all the rest of those things. So I pray that it would help you as you move forward in this year. So let me just pray with us now this morning. Father, I am so grateful for the truth of your word. Father, as a church, I know that we love to give your word away because we know that it has the power and the authority that it has in our lives. And so, Father, I just really pray right now in Jesus' name, just for each one of us, myself included, that we would be willing and open and quick to ask for forgiveness and to repent of the times we make mistakes. Father, I pray that our community... God, in a sense, we want to intercede on behalf of our community because some are walking in the wrong direction. Some are, they're not realizing the things that they're doing is leading to death. And so we ask and we confess on their behalf. We repent of our community. We ask for a fresh release of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would move in a mighty way in our community. And Father, as our church moves forward in our 89th year of history, Lord, I pray that we would have the same desire to be free of all the things that would cause us to go the wrong way, and that we would desire the things that you have for us and the way that you're leading and directing us. I pray that we would have a sensitivity to you, Holy Spirit, a sensitivity to the truth of God's word. God, would we be an obedient church? Would we be quick to ask for forgiveness as a church for one another, for each other, on behalf of our families, I think about as well, Father. Those that have gone astray, those sons and daughters, those maybe even parents that they're not coming to you, I pray in Jesus' name that they would come to their senses and they would find repentance and freedom in Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.